Shmonesrei, we said you last paragraph alakai that ser l'sheni beit al. This is after the 19 brachas are complete. Now, if you notice in the siddur, you have a pasuk before that yihyu ratzon b'nefi, and you do hashem tzuri v'gaili. This pasuk is said, of course, the Gemara says it. Tehillim follows, corresponds with Tehillim. You have 18 chapters of Tehillim. 19, the end of the 19th, you have this pasuk, Yidratzim Refi. So this means that may the words are not be accepted, all I've said until now, but that's why it fits to say after the Shemesh. When you say this pasuk, that's when you have completed legally the Shemesh. You're still not free till you walk back. Three steps, finished. But legally means that from then on you may answer only. So, you know, this pasuk is there twice. It is there once before the Lekan Yisrael, and it is there once before Issa Shalom Ibrahimov, very end of the Lekan Yisrael. The reason is that the right place for it is at the very end. It's placed in front of the Lekan Yisrael as an emergency means in case you ever have to talk to it, answer it. You up to a point where you want to catch up to the Chazan saying Kedusha. You're finishing late, the Chazan starting Kedusha, when they join in. And if you say Lekan and say, you lose out on that, so you have a chance that you learn some Nefi, then you can answer Amen, then Kedusha, and so on. You get to the end of Shemoneh Esrei. As we said, Shemoneh Esrei ends only when you have walked back three steps completely. Walked back, and then walked forward after you win. Now, this, therefore, entails another din. Halacha is, Gemara says, that when a person stands, speaking to Hashem, which means standing Shemoneh Esrei, it is definitely against the din to walk in front of him. And if you think that's an easy din to comply with, far out, because in general, say it's understood. The person is standing Shemoneh Esrei, so you don't walk in front of you, passing by. To sit in front of him, of course, is awesome. And this is a halacha too that we'll find. These dinim are very major din. This is Zayin Kodesh. Speaks about them, not like the Gemara does, but stresses them in very strong terms. You go into many shuls and you'll find, not the Amaratzim, but the so-called seemingly learned people who seem to ignore this, Chassid Shalom, or seemingly unaware of this. But it is a major halacha. It's no different than any other dinner in the Torah. Zayin Kodesh says it. It's to sit in front of a person who's davening Shemoneh Esrei is a major sin. Zayin Kodesh adds, that to sit on the side of a person, too, is also a sin, even on the side of him, not in front of him. That's the Zayin Kodesh Halacha. Back of him, it is permissible, behind him, to sit. This means, if you go to Shahal, you'll find where it says, the statement, this is where they differ, Shinoch and Zayin Kodesh. If, let's say, a person is davening, he's sitting and davening, minding his own business, somebody comes along, walks over, and starts davening from Esrei, right over here, beside of him, or behind him. So he's sitting in front of the person of Shemoneh Esrei. It's not his fault. He picked the right spot. There was nobody davening there. This person started down behind him. So is he required to stand up now? If he did what was right, this person came behind him, he's excused. So Zayin Kodesh says definitely not. That person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, no matter what, whose fault or what it is. You cannot sit in front of a person of Shemoneh Esrei. Now where does this halacha come into play? Very often, constantly, person is davening the berachos of Kriyas Shema, the Yatzei Menachem Mikayim, Esrei Reisenu, and somebody else, he's a little slow. Somebody else davens faster. He's behind. The minyan starts davening to Yisrael, Shemoneh Esrei, and he's behind. So he figures he'll sit until he gets to Tilos and Kelly and Gaelim, he has to stand up. That's where he makes his mistake. Because no matter what happens, even if he's in the middle of Kriyas Shema, where you're not allowed to stand up, there's a death penalty for it. You also have a death penalty for standing up in the middle of Kriyas Shema. Even then, if somebody gets up a davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're behind, no excuse at all. There's no exception to that rule. You must stand up. You cannot sit in the presence of a person davening Shemoneh Esrei, not the presence, but the front of a person davening Shemoneh Esrei. That's how strict that rule is, and why it's disregarded, of course, is a pity. Now, as we said, you cannot sit. It's definite. You cannot walk past them. If you have to go through a room, people davening Shemoneh Esrei, how do you walk? How do you do this? Manipulate their way through. This means walking between people davening Shemoneh Esrei in front of a lot of people. This is a rough case. If it's an emergency, of course, you may do it, but you should avoid that as much as possible. Avoid walking in front of people on the side of the Davishness. Now, with this halacha established, we come to this point. When people are davening in a shul, they're pretty much bunched up close together. All this talk about walking in front of a person before Shemoneh Esrei, what if a person is davening there? You're walking over here. Does that mean you're breaking a law? A person is davening in Chicago, you're walking here. You're still east of him, in front of him. How far in front are you allowed to walk? The answer is, Daladamas, which means about 6 feet. Within 6 feet in front of him, in other words, enough for a person to, let's say, bow forward, fall forward, be about 5.5 feet, 6 feet. That distance is the amount that belongs to him. It's reserved for his confrontation. So in that area, you cannot walk. If he's, let's say, 10 feet away from the wall, then basically you can walk in front of him as long as he passed the 6 foot line. That you may do. Now, if people are davening in shul, small shul, maybe the bigger one, you have them close up. They're all davening Shemoneh Esrei, and one is 2 feet in front of each other. Now, if the person in front finishes Shemoneh Esrei first, he gets to Eisei Shul, 3 steps. There's somebody right behind him. So to walk back, say somebody's right behind him, even 7 feet behind. He has to walk back, taking about 3 feet to go back. He's going to walk within that person's 6 foot area by going back 3 steps. There, in that case, it is forbidden to walk back 3 steps. You have to stand there and wait until the person behind you finishes ministry. But you're not tied down because you say the Pasuk Yehi L'Ratzon, which means that then you can answer every Amen. It's just while you're standing listening to the Chazan repeat the Shema Esrei. You can answer Kaddish and everything else. There's no question about being able to answer everything, but you cannot budge. You are tied to that, you're rooted to that spot. You can't move back until the person behind you has also walked back to finish Shema Esrei, because otherwise it means you're walking in front of a person who's having Shema Esrei. Very vital rule. One final law. Whenever we said that about walking in front of the person of Shemoneh Esrei, unbeknownst to many, also applies to Kaddish. The person saying the Kaddish, this is something where you walk around the shul, you're free agents. Sometimes people ignore the Kaddish too. That's the shul that is from me, where they should, but it's a matter of fire. But the rule is that a person saying Kaddish has the same deal as a person saying Shemoneh Esrei. You're not allowed to sit in front of him. Not allowed to walk in front of him until the entire Kaddish is completed. And that's a chus. We comply with these din of yemes. We should be zecha to see makolo buddha behecha the chol sein edu yeshua to the Kol Yisrael, the Am Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. The halal means that we do not finish the halal. We leave it out. We leave out a piece. Two small parts, two half chapters of Halal. Halal, of course, is a taken from Tillum. As you should all know, it's just before the book of your tests. Leave out two half chapters to designate to show that the Halal is not complete. Originally, there was no bracha said for the Halal if it wasn't complete. In fact, that's what these Sfarim do today. It's their custom. So, our custom is to say the bracha for Halal regardless. We show that the Shredish is only half halal. The difference between half halal and whole halal is the difference between a complete holiday and a holiday that's semi. Now, for example, the Shredish is like a weekday. It's not like Shabbos Yom. We say only half halal. But that's not actually completely the reason. The fact is that the Shredish does not commemorate a specialness. Halal is said, praise Hashem for a nest that happened. Shredish is not for a nest exactly, and that's why it's half halal. Plus the fact that, as we said, it's not a high holy day. But on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, those are the main chagim, then we say halal. We say the whole halal then, except for the first hour, it's the 6 days of Pesach, less extended Pesach, where we say we have challah. The first 2 days, because they're getting confused with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is would they Pesach they start with. Did they have 6 more days? We have 2 days Pesach, we have 6 more days. We have 2 days of Pesach, holiday, and 4 days of holiday, and 2 more days of, less days of Pesach, holiday. They surely have 1, 5, and 1. So, it's the only holiday where you have half Hallel, the first 2 days of Pesach, or there the first day, it's a major holiday, they say whole Hallel, night and in the morning. The 7th day of Pesach, something happened, where it was Kriyas Yom Suf, and so many people died, Egyptians. Therefore, there cannot be any Simcha in heaven, even though it was the Shoah that were wiped out. Because of the Simcha in heaven, we too, on the 7th day, and then Israel on the 7th and 8th day here, say half hallel. Because of that, the Gemara says it's not fitting that the 7th day, which is a holiday, should be half hallel, and the Chalamayit, the half hallel, should be whole hallel. That's why Chalamayit Pesach should not be higher than the last day of Pesach, so we also say half hallel. Hanukkah, which commemorates an actual nest that happens, we say the whole halal for the entire 8 days. That is lechem and nest, mamish. But Purim, we do not say halal, though it was also lechem and nest, because of a number of reasons. In the first place, it took place outside of Eretz Yisrael, the nest, not in Eretz Yisrael. Once the Jews got to Eretz Yisrael, they decided halal be said only from then on, said only for Nisan that took place in Eretz Yisrael. Before that, Pesach, but outside of Eretz Yisrael. Once they got to Eretz Yisrael, it's henceforth only a nest that takes place. In Eretz Yisrael will have the halal set for it, not outside, which was Purim. Different to the Gemara gives Echad. This, of course, will give us a little understanding into the Machlekes, the debate that rages now about the Independence Day for Israel. That between different factions as to whether to say Hallel for that day, whether to say Hallel, whether to hell with a Brach also. So they claim that it was a nest, which is undeniable. There was a nest there, naturally. The Jews got this part of that to sell it back. The Shaila is only whether that nest was made for the sake of the Jews having it to sell. We can't go into that controversy, because it's a very painful one. The lines are drawn too sharply between the extremes. To recant that the Zionists, so-called, you'd rather not step on the toes of many. But, of course, to the more religious Jews feel that you do not say Hallel, despite the fact it wasn't there, despite the fact that for the first time in nearly 2,000 years, the Jews have it to sell as their own. Despite this fact, they claim that they do not want to say Hallel, because that will mislead the Jews to thinking that we have the Gevula, make them relax from the Tefillahs of Mashiach. As we see now, how true that is. You cannot have Menucha, the Yish of Yaakov, you cannot have Menucha there for a moment, as long as the Goyim are breathing down our neck. We have to arouse ourselves, scream and cry to Hashem for Yeshua. But Menachem says, this is a sharp word, not to let Hashem alone. Don't say you have Kaviyachal, pity on Hashem, you don't want to bother him, you want to leave him alone, let him rest. Don't let Hashem rest. Keep on nagging and bothering and screaming and yelling and crying to Hashem to stop. The harsh decrees, Hashem should remove all these enemies, certainly Yehudim, and should rescue us from their hands. This we must continue to do. If we do that, then we could actually arouse the Rachman, G'dayim in heaven, to realize the Gevura. So we have to go with powerful tefillah, which means that this is the Shchedesh, the beginning of the month, to be the beginning of. The Sefer Kabbalah say that Rosh Chodesh is a time to think of the Geula, because very fittingly, Shchedesh is Megillatria, exactly, David Melach Yisrael, Chai Mekayim. This should be the Megillia, the Gnulat Mashiach has already come, which means that also the years of Mashiach, the Mesrita Shabbibi, and the din of Tefillah and Tzibur, or Kaddish, what we're up to now, or laning Kriyas HaTayda, so on. These are all items that require a minyan. You cannot daven, you cannot say these things, you cannot say a baruch hu, you cannot say a kaddish, or repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, or a kedusha, unless you have 10 people that constitute a minyan. I don't recall who said it, but it's written in many places, of course. The question Masses al brings, why do you have to have a minyan for Baruch Hu, after all? What is the purpose? For instance, we say that for benching. It's a deep question that answers this question. For benching, the Zilman, for 3 people, you say, Nevorech Shachalim Yishalai. Let us bench. Let us give Baruch HaTashu. If you have a minion, you say, Nevorech Eleikeinu Shachalim Yishalai. Or, Nevorech Leileikeinu Shachalim Yishalai. This, by the way, is a special topic, long topic. We say the Varech Eleikeinu, the Varech Leileikeinu. Long taste of so that there's a whole piece of the Zayin Kodesh and the Fashi Zayin Kodesh. Very long and interesting point. Someday we will have to discuss that in detail. We say the Varech Eleikeinu Shechal Mishalai, or the Eleikeinu Shechal Mishalai for a minyan. And for 3 people, we do not say, we don't add the word Eleikeinu. Why? Is that forbidden? You can say Kedusha, you can say Baruch Hu, you can say Nevorech Eleikeinu, but you cannot say it if you have 1 person or 3 people. What makes 10 better than 3 or 1? And if you say, if you're going to answer that, 10 people could mention Hashem's name, how many times does a regular person say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shemayim V'Haaretz? How many brachas does a person say himself? Yochid, he says that, Hashem Elokeinu, and I can't Yisrael. All the brachas that a person says, he is saying brachas. Baruch Atah Hashem. What's Baruch Atah Hashem different than any? He's saying Baruch Eleikeinu Baruch. You can't say that mentioning Hashem's name is something that's possible only by a minyan. Thus, the answer is that it's true that the yochid, the individual, can say Hashem's name, but the individual to say Baruch Hu, to command the Vorech, to command others, that requires so much kedusha. And it takes a full minyan. To be able to mashpia on others, let us say Hashem's name. The secret of it is that it requires the kayach, the power of all 10 spheres combined. You have to have all 10 spheres. If you have a minyan, it presents all 10 spheres. From beginning to end, that's a complete shlemus. So you need 10 minyan for a davash v'gdusha, it's called. This davash v'gdusha requires 10 gedolim, 10 grown people. You cannot use women for a minyan. 100 women are not as good as 1 man. It's no chiddush. But you can't use women for a minyan at all. And also, you cannot use ketanim. A cotton means one who's under 13. Under 13, he cannot be mitsudaf to a minyan. Which means that even 1 cotton, 9 people plus a cotton, is still not a minyan. By the same token, the din says that if you have what makes the minyan 10 individual people, what kind of 10 people? 10 simple people. Now, in order to be able to say a davening or the tefillah, the tzibur, you need 10 people who are ordinary, simple people. Of course, they were talking about the ones who are religious, but simple ones, not that learned. If you have a combination of the beginning of the time to the end of time, get together the greatest tzaddikim in the world, including Mashiach as one of them, right? Including Mashiach. Get 9 of these greatest tzaddikim of all time, these 9 come together, you have the most powerful combination of Kedusha found on heaven or earth. And these 9 cannot say Baruch Hu, they cannot say Kedusha, they cannot read the Torah, they cannot say Kaddish, as holy as they are. You take one little yokel, walks off the street, little yo-yo, walks inside, and they can daven. You got 9 tzaddikim. One plain, simple person. This is like one of walks inside for this tremendous combination. That little one helps him out. So all these nine needed this one to help them to make that leap. This is the koyach of tefillah mitzvah, by the way. It shows proof. A person thinks that this is an exaggeration. We say that one person, no matter how great he is, davens alone b'yachidus, his tefillah is in danger. It will be inspected in heaven, inspected and looked over and torn apart, ripped apart to find flaws, which of course are not hard to find. It's all over. So you have his flaws in the person's davening. But if he davens b'tzibur, a group, no matter what they are, right through, pass, open the gates wide and let it flow through. It looks pretty rough, very coarse type of davening. Pieces broken up all over, but slide them all through, he goes, came b'tzibur. Where do you find something like that that sounds hard to believe? Well, here's the answer. You got nine tzaddikim like this, and the tefillah, can't even start. Can't get off, can't even get the ignition started even. You get this one simple one, walks inside, and everything starts to roll, the heavens start to turn, and tefillah starts going. Kadesh, we can say, what is a Kadesh worth? What is a Kedusha worth? It's all because of this one little one that came in, which proves that little one, 10 little ones are better than 9 big ones. As far as tefillah mitzvah is concerned. Yeah, so now we said that there's a he said that there's 10 for a requirement for Kaddish, and 9 plus a katan is not enough. I once spoke about this. I believe that this, we had this Shaila. It then says, the Gemara brings that if you have one katan, you could use 9 and 1. Shekhanah, this Shaila is brought, where a katan has to hold a chumash in his hand in order to be considered in Sudav. There's a big machlokes about it, there's a long tesis too on that topic. And it's a very controversial item. You'll find today, if you ask this as a shaila to rabbis, it's so diversified, some rabbis will swear by it, they'll scream, they'll rave and rant that you cannot use a cotton. No matter what happens, close the shul, you can't use a cotton. Others will say it's not so bad, it's better than eating him. That's a shaykh yifelach avla. You don't get a death penalty for it if you use a cotton for me. So of course, how do you determine, how do you solve a problem like this? You have so great a controversy. What would a rabbi today honestly say? The question was placed to him when he knows that there's such a battle raging over this topic. Not only that, but frankly speaking, we would say that the majority of rabbis today are inclined towards the negative side. They will not accept a cotton as part of the minyan. This I've seen definitely. Majority today, talking about real rabbis, aren't they? So what could you do today? To take the side of the majority in a case like this would be difficult sometimes if you're faced with losing out of the minyan. The place has 9 people, there's 1 cotton. It means really closing up. Or let's say it is a small town where all you have is 9 and a cotton, and it's impossible. There is no solution. Does that mean that this place is doomed to die without a minyan? And of course, their answer is, so what if there were 8? Doomed? Of course it's doomed. It's not Emmet Liber, so it's doomed. If there were 6 or 5, so 9 is the same as 6 or 5 or 8. However, it is not the same, because for 8, there's no place in Shekhanah where it says that it's kosher for 7 or 6 or 5. For 9, there is a day, so don't discard that day so lightly. In my case, personally, I would never have dared to enter into this controversy. There are big, giant-sized mountains, big mountains that are moving. Don't stick your head in between these mountains, because they can crush you, turn you into sand. You have big rabbis, chil can argue over an item. Don't start deciding because you get crushed there. So coming to these mountains, I'll stay very far away. The only thing is that in this case is not me, but I was zeichet to be present at a session where I saw a mountain pulverizer. There's someone who knows how to pulverize mountains. I saw his Psak Halacha. I saw the others, Gedolim, who were present, who accepted this Psak Halacha. Very completely. In fact, this thing happened right around the corner, across the street. It happened to Rabbi Horowitz's shul a few years ago. I was just 10 years old at the time. So a little over a few years ago when this happened. Maybe a couple of years to go and show you. Is this going to work? This is halacha. I'm telling you now, it's really halacha. Really halacha means that when you know that it's not just theory, but it's a mesa. At that time, there were 9 men in the shul. My father, Shom, was one of the 9 men, and they were confronted with a very serious dilemma. What could they do? I was just 10 years old, to recall. Just past my 10th birthday, I was standing by watching. It was a nice issue. See them discussing this topic, and Tesis is flying around in the air. Tesis, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, what should you do? So finally, my father, Shom, said, this is a strange thing. It was so many years ago, and yet it remains so indelibly impressed. I could see exactly the movements of each person, where I was standing, where they were standing. Each moment is clear today. If I should be able to know what happened yesterday, like I remember what happened then. And my father Shom said, very powerfully, he said, we could be mitzarev. We could touch, use the addition of this boy who was 10 years old because he learns Gemara as well as any of us. He's considered a good old in the full sense. A 10-year-old boy or a 12-year-old boy who's not good yeshiva material, perhaps there'd be a shower. We're talking about the word gadol. This refers to mentally to one who is a yeshiva boy, because yeshiva and learns Gemara should be permissible. Now, I'm not speaking about a 12-year-old boy at the time. I wasn't 12 already mature. At least according to some days, they say, well, the 12 years old is really mature. 10 years old, was a beginner in Gemara, a zero mentally, nothing, a plain elementary school, nothing. You see them around here, and you see what we taught here. Still, he said this so emphatic that the rest of them discussed it for a minute or so more, and the rest of them were not plain people. The rest of them, they were, among them, they were really gedolim, bekiyim, charifim, people who could speak words of Torah like fire was coming from their mouths. And they all agreed completely to this point. It was accepted. Well, each one came to me, shook my hand, and said, you saved the million today. It never happened again. Baruch Hashem, they had a million. Just one time there was an emergency. Emergency was brought about in a case where I had to have this million. But what I learned from there was that never again will I have a doubt in my mind about this shadow. Because the most important detail you can ever learn for yourselves is the Salaam for my father, Shom Tura, Kach Ki Balti Min Abaisai. This is what my rabbi taught me. It's worth more, it's more solid a halacha than the whole Shulchan Aruch. If somebody would show me today a whole sefer written up contrary to what I saw, it wouldn't faze me the least. My conscience wouldn't bother me one iota. I would know, clear conscience of knowing what's right. Because Kach Ki Balti Min Abaisai. That's the halacha. Therefore, there are a few items that I've seen, I was there to see. These few items, I recall one like the Yidav Tzchelos, the Koch of Lezal, a big doubt there too. Things that I've seen, Kibalti, are the most solid items in my mind as far as Allah is concerned. And therefore, this is one of them. I've gotten into arguments, debates with other rabbis about this. I don't continue this discussion with them. I don't prompt it. I don't incite it. I don't provoke it. But quietly, I state that with me, issue is final. The final, because whatever I've seen there is the strongest halacha I could have written. If I had all the rabbis got together in the world and said, this is a decision of Kotel, maybe Mitzudav, this is exactly the same as what I've seen. So that's why, as far as this halacha goes, a Kotel is Mitzudav for Kaddish, for Baruchu, for Kriyas HaTayda, everything else can be used as one of the 10 of the million. We'll discuss the Kaddish million more in detail tomorrow.